that bigger cabin that can drive down the hill and make a vertical jump to go run the hill. And I pastored Cornerstone Baptist Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and that's about 7 hours or so north of here. And I'm thankful to be able to be with you tonight. I like expository preaching, and right now we are preaching through the book of Mark, and we're about near the end of the fourth chapter. Also doing a study on 1 Thessalonians. But tonight I'm just going to do something a little different, that's what the Lord's put on my heart. And tonight is going to be as much of a testimony as a message. That's just what the Lord has just been working with me on. So I just want to read from Romans chapter 1, and just want to read two verses. And nothing new tonight, nothing deep or anything like that. I know that in my own life, I know that many times I need to have my heart stirred up about things that I already know. And so that's what the Lord has been working with me on here. And we'll just like to read from Romans chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. I think for most of us, if not all of us, very familiar verses. Romans 1, 14 and 15. I don't know if you stand here, if you don't have to. Okay, you can stay seated. That's fine. That works. Okay. You can just follow along as I read aloud then these two verses here. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I'm the third of seven sons. My parents had seven boys and no girls, and my mom said she wanted it that way, so, you know. But my dad always told us, boy, nobody owes you nothing. And of course, I'm like 6, 7, 8 years old. I'm like, what in the world does that mean? Boy, nobody owes you nothing. When I got a little bit older, I began to understand, don't expect for someone else to give you happiness or fulfillment or meaning in life or anything. We live in the United States of America. And back in 1961, during his inaugural address, President John F. Kennedy made that statement that at that time was famous, when he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Yes. Yeah. Of course, he'd be laughed out of town saying something like that today, or blasted on social media, or totally ignored or something, because we've become the land of entitlement. The government owes me, my parents owe me, life owes me, everybody I meet owes me something. That's the mindset of people in the United States of America. 2023, we live in the freest, most prosperous nation in the history of the world. I mean, we've got it good. The poor people in America have a much higher standard of living than most of the rest of the world. Like, I do travel about, and you'll see that. You won't argue that point at all. We have access to technology, health care, and opportunities that people in other cultures could only dream about. We have a right to and the freedom to worship God. We have the freedom to vote. We have the freedom to criticize the government without disappearing. Nobody, like, what happened to him? Well, he said something about the president. He said something about whatever. Nothing like that. We have received so much. So this evening, I want to speak to you for just a few minutes. I don't see a clock anywhere, so I want to avoid the trap door. Keep an eye on that. I want to speak to you just on this subject. We are debtors. Amen. Let's pray together. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you, Lord, again for the opportunity to be here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and I thank you for what you're doing here, Lord. It's exciting to see the building, the growth, and all that's going on here, Lord, and just inspires me and encourages me. Thank you for the kind reception I received from Pastor Vogel and the folks here, Lord. I pray you continue to put your hand of blessing upon these folks, and I pray you continue to use them in a mighty way to impact this community for Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, and all God's people said. Amen. Man, I don't know about you, but I don't like debt. When my wife and I were newly married and we were young, and I had one of those little plastic cards, a Sears card, and I got some work done on the car, and it was a $700 bill. And you know, it might as well have been $70,000 because I paid $10 a month and it took me years to pay it off. And I told myself I will never do that again. I'm so bad. I don't like paying the electric bill every month. I've been like, let me just pay it once and pay it off for the rest of my life. I'd rather do that. I don't like debt. And I like to pay cash. And by and large, my motto, I try to do this. If I can't pay cash for it, I don't want it. That's just my mindset. So I'd like to live simply. Well, in the context of this text that we just read, Paul knew of the church at Rome, but he'd never been there. He knew some of the people there, but he'd not been there. And so he had a desire to get to Rome, but he not only had a desire to get there, but he had a desire to see them, to teach them, and proclaim the gospel there. So what he's speaking about here is not a financial debt. He's speaking about a spiritual debt. And I want to say this evening that we also have a spiritual debt to pay. Three areas very quickly in which we are debtors. Number one, I want to say, we are debtors to Christ for saving us by His grace. I was telling Dave at dinner tonight, I'm just in a very reflective mood. My pastor just died, the one whose church I got saved in. He died a few weeks ago. We just had his funeral on Saturday. I didn't speak. I was just there attending. But I just brought back so many memories of his life and how that he was outside of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, one of the suburban areas, running buses in there. And they said, you take these buses, these people from this city that you're bringing here, and go somewhere else. And he did. And he reached a young man there in the city of Harrisburg who reached my brother Myron. And my brother Myron, well, I don't have time to go into the whole story. Anyway, my brother Myron got saved. And then my brother Myron began to invite me to church and some of my brothers to church with him. Well, we were going to a church that was, well, it was Church of God in Christ. I don't know if you have those down here, but I wasn't getting the gospel there. And so he said, why don't you come to church with me? I said, man, I already have a church I go to. He said, well, why don't you come to church with me because we have basketball and we have girls. Okay, where do I sign? I am not saying that's a valid reason to go to church. I was lost, okay? I knew. That's what he used to draw me in. And I began attending in April of 1978. And that first Sunday that I was there, I heard the gospel preached, and I was under such conviction. And I remember holding onto that pew for dear life, just shaking. I went back the next Sunday, and I went there for 6 months, and I was running from the Lord, even though the gospel was coming to me, and I knew I was lost, but I thought I would just hold out and just, you know, do whatever I wanted to do, and finally God caught up with me in August of 1978, and I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, and my life has never been the same. Like you, brother, I don't ever want to get over it. I don't ever want to get used to it. I don't want to ever want to get calm about it. I want to be thankful that God reached way down to save this wretched sinner. You see, as sinners, we are spiritually bankrupt and we have nothing to offer God. Our works, our baptism, our good life, our promises to do better, all that stuff amounts to nothing. In fact, there's a parable in Matthew chapter 18, and we won't turn there for the sake of time, but I'll just read some of this to you in Matthew 18. It's a parable about forgiveness, but it also applies to our salvation. Therefore, Matthew 18:23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Again, that's just a story to us until you recognize how much a talent is and how a talent was the largest amount of a quantity of money that they knew at that time. It would be the equivalent today, according to some sources, to 3.5 $48 billion. I don't know how much money you make, but if you worked 10 lifetimes, you wouldn't be able to pay back $3.48 billion. So he was forgiven, the whole thing. Every bit of it was forgiven. And my friend, that's what God did for us. We were racking up an insurmountable debt against a holy God, and there was nothing we could do to pay it off. We can maybe make a little pittance here and a little pittance there, but we couldn't pay it off. But you know what God did? He sent his Son. And when Jesus came, he paid the debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay, but Jesus Christ paid it for us. I still can't repay that debt. What shall I render unto the Lord, said the psalmist, for all of his benefits for that he has done to me? There's nothing we can pay. Vance Havner once said, the whole of the Christian life is one big thank you. That is the expression of our gratitude to God for his goodness. We are debtors tonight. We are debtors because Jesus paid it all. And since he did, all to him we owe. His love, his mercy, his grace flows to us continually every single day and then on throughout the eons of eternity. And so tonight I stand here as a privileged child of God tonight to say, I don't have to worship, I get to worship. I don't have to give, I get to give. I don't have to serve, I get to serve. The Most High God, I can never pay him back for all that he's done for me. We are debtors to God for his saving grace. Robert Robinson, in that great hymn that he wrote, that last stanza, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be." We are debtors to Christ for saving grace, but secondly, I want to say, we are debtors to those who have invested in us. In Philippians 1:3, the Apostle Paul wrote to the folks of Philippi, and he said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." The Philippian church was one of the best churches that he wrote to. They didn't have any major problems going on there. But he's writing from prison telling them how to have joy. You think they'd be writing from being free telling him in prison how to have joy. But he's writing from prison telling them how to have joy. And they supported him and they loved him and he had a great bond with them. And Paul is just writing to them saying, thank you for supporting me. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for loving me. And every single one of us tonight, we have a choice every single day of our lives. We have a choice every single day of our lives. We can focus on our hurts. We can focus on our problems. We can first focus on the difficulties that we experience, or we can focus on the goodness and the blessings that we've experienced in our lives. You know, you can be victimized, but you don't have to go around with permanent victim status. See, if you live long enough in this world, no matter what you do, no matter where you live, you're going to be hurt by somebody. Hopefully they won't be a Christian, right? Hopefully they won't be somebody in ministry, but you're going to be hurt. That's a fact. There's no escaping it. That's part of the broken human condition of living in a sinful world. And I want to say that I must say that my life has not been without bumbles and stumbles. And I have been hurt by folks, and I've had some difficulties. I've had some downs, and I've been kicked around a little bit in my life. But I want to say this: whatever joy, whatever blessings, whatever goodness, whatever of what man would call success that I get to experience in my life, it's because of the goodness of God towards me that he has provided through other people and their blessings. I look back on my life, and I see I owe a great debt to so many people, to those who witnessed to me when I said, I was holding on to the pew. Hey, Mike, you want to get saved today? No, not today. You want to get saved today? No, not today. This went on every single Sunday. Thank God they didn't give up on me. Oh, you know, he's apostate. He's reprobate. There's no hope for him. Oh, they just kept coming back with the gospel. Thank God I owe a great debt to those who prayed for me, those who encouraged me, those even after I got saved who believed in me, those who prayed over me, those who gave me a good swift kick in the backside when I needed it, those who taught me, those who helped me, those who refused to give up on me I am a debtor tonight. And I want you to know that. I've lived long enough now to know that there are no self-made men. There are a whole lot of self-made messes running around, but there's no self-made men. In the scriptures, we have the tragic story of King Joash. Got off to a great start. Don't have time to go into the whole thing, but his grandmother killed all of his siblings. That's just really bizarre. It's hard even to wrap our mind around something like that. The human heart has been depraved since, you know, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And she took over to be queen, and her Joash's old sister and her husband, who was the high priest, Jehoiada the high priest, took him under the wing. They protected him. They kept him from being murdered, along with all of his siblings, and prepared him to be king and mentored him and taught him. But after Jehoiada died, here's what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 14, 15, and the following. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days. When he died, and 138 years old was he when he died, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king, and the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath of Judah came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their trespass. And the Bible says he rendered not according to the benefit done unto him. He forgot all the good that Jehoiada had done in protecting him, saving his life, mentoring him, getting him ready to serve as king. He forgot all about that and went out the window. I stand here tonight as a debtor to my parents, who grew up in Tampa, Florida, moved into Pennsylvania in 1962, the year that I was born. My parents didn't know the gospel. They weren't believers. My dad had a drinking problem. He was a great man, wonderful man, but he had a drinking problem. So he moved around every few years trying to run from it. But when you have a problem inside of you, it follows you. It doesn't matter where you go. Yeah. But I owe a great debt to my parents, because my parents taught me to work hard. No lazy kid's going to grow up in that golden house. Get up, boy, get up of my house. I don't have anything to do. Find something to do. Not sleeping all day in my house. Our parents taught us to respect authority. Our parents taught us to fear God. So that when by the time we heard the gospel, I was like, I know that's right. I don't think I want to do it yet, but I know that's right, because I know based on what my mom and dad told me. I'm a debtor to my parents. I'm a debtor to my pastor, who had a small Christian school, an ACD school, and after years of being untaught in many of the public schools that I went to, finally did a whole lot of catching up in my last 2 years at the Christian school that I was able to go to. I'm a debtor to the youth leaders who poured into us and taught us. I think of Tim Hughes, who every single Friday night took the young people on his wings, made some crazy games for them, taught us the Word of God, challenged us about our work, walk with God. I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to him. I'm a debtor to the Sunday school teachers that I had. I'm a debtor to my professors in college. I'm a debtor to my friends who stood by me through the years. I'm a debtor to the members of Cornerstone Baptist Church who served with me year in and year out, year in and year out. I feel so sorry for those folks when I first started back in those days. I had no idea what I was doing. Some days I still don't, but I certainly didn't then. But I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to my bride of 37 years. She's been putting up with me. Give the lady a medal. That's all I can say. 37 years and 6 children later, we are still locked arm in arm, going forth serving God together. I'm so thankful to God for that.
Amen. Good.
Where would Joshua be without Moses? I wonder if we'd even heard of him. Joshua, Moses' ministry. He just waited on Moses. Where would Moses be without Jochebed and Amram, who did not fear the king, but they kept their son alive? Where would Esther be without Mordecai? Where would Ruth be without a Naomi, who came and decided, I'm going to get back right with God no matter what the cost? And took her daughter-in-law under her wing. Where would David be without a Jonathan? who loved him as a friend. Saul's looking all over the country for Jonathan. Looking here, looking there, looking here, looking there. Can't find him. But the Bible says that Jonathan went right to where David was and strengthened his hand in God. Where would Paul be without a Barnabas? So many people that God has used in every one of our lives, we wouldn't be where we are today if it weren't for so many other people. We are debtors. Alex Haley, who wrote that book on Roots, he said, if you see a turtle up on a fence post, you know he had help. My friend, if God raises you up to do anything with you, you didn't get there by yourself. You had a lot of help, a lot of praying, a lot of encouragement, a lot of instruction to get where you are. Isaac Newton, in 1675, he wrote a letter to Robert Hooke, and then he made his most famous statement. He says, if I've seen further, it's by standing on the shoulders of giants. We benefit so much from those who've gone before us and laid foundations and poured into us. And we need to be pouring into others in like manner. We're debtors to the Lord Jesus Christ for saving our souls from hell. I don't have to go to hell. I get to go to heaven. Not because of me, in spite of me. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Glory to his name. We are debtors to those who have invested in us. But I want to say finally, and be done here tonight, we are debtors to all men. That is really the context of our text, right? Paul says, I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. The way, or at least one of the ways, one of the main ways I pay my debt to God is to share his gospel with other people who don't know him. That's what he says. God's message for us in 2023 is not retreat, but it's go! The world needs what we have. Don't hold out, reach out. There's a despair overreaching over our culture right now. I mean, if I was lost, I'd be like, whoa, between, you know, the political situation and the war situation and everything, the economy and all this, I would just be in deep depression if I didn't know Jesus right now. There's a hopelessness that's going around. What an opportunity for us to be a witness. What an opportunity for us to be a light. What an opportunity for us to take the good news of Jesus Christ to those who don't know him. I'm a debtor to the Jews and the Greeks, to the barbarians and the wise and the unwise. What does that mean? That means everybody needs what we have. There's one gospel for Jews and Greeks. There's one gospel for Americans and Chinese and Russians and Baptists and Catholics and Methodists and black and white and Hispanics and rich and poor, young and old. One message that everybody needs. And we are debtors to get that message out. Let us be busy preaching the gospel, passing out tracts, sharing our testimony, getting involved. I'm so reminded, I remember reading Billy Sunday's biography years ago when I was in college, and one story just sticks out in my mind. In this particular biography, the Chicago fire had come, and so many people had died, and some people barely escaped with their lives. And on a streetcar that was pulling away from the fire out of the city, there was a girl whose clothes were charred, but she was unhurt, but she was crying uncontrollably, and she just couldn't stop crying. And finally, someone went to her and they said, young lady, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Look at you. At least you're alive. Some people back there didn't even make it. You should stop your crying immediately. And she said, looked up and she said, sir, to think that I saved myself, but I didn't save anybody else. I saved myself, but I didn't save anybody else. Well, let us not go to heaven alone. Let us realize we're debtors to get the gospel out to others. Keep the faith, but don't keep it to yourself. We're not only debtors to all men to give the gospel to them, but we're debtors to preach the gospel, but also we're debtors to love others like we love ourselves. Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. See, you may pay off your house, you may pay off your car, you may maybe pay off whatever loans that you have, but there's one debt you'll never pay off. That's the debt of love you owe to your fellow human being. That's always going to be something that we're going to be paying on. Let us not look around thinking others owe us. Let us not look around thinking, what can you do for me? But let us look, think, go around thinking, how can I be a blessing to you? And let the love of Christ flow through me to you to be like Abraham, when God says, I'll make of thee a great nation, I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. God never means for the blessing to stop with us. He doesn't want it to come to us. He wants it to come through us in love to others. I'm not supposed to look at my wife and say, what have you done for me lately? I'm supposed to look at her and say, sweetheart, what can I do for you today? I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to my wife, I'm a debtor to my children, I'm a debtor to my church, I'm a debtor to my family, I'm a debtor to you all here tonight. I'm a debtor to everyone I come across. The scripture tells us in 1 John, we know John 3:16 really well, but 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. What does it look like? Service. That's what it looks like. Forgiveness, prayer, encouragement, acceptance, all of those things. I don't know how much time we have until Jesus comes. Perhaps it will be tonight. But until he does come, we have a debt to pay. We're debtors. We're debtors. One of my great missionary studies is of a man named C.T. Studd, started off in China and ended up in Africa. He said, made that great statement, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. He just said, I'm just trying to pay off the debt. Only one life. That's all we get. No reincarnation, no karma, none of that nonsense. Thank God once is plenty, though. I don't want to come back. Only one life. So soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. We're debtors. Not due to guilt, but due to grace. Not because of law, but because of love. Not out of mere duty, but as a delight, as a privilege to serve the King of Kings. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We are debtors. And I have to say with that great hymn writer Isaac Watts, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands, it demands my life. My soul, my all.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your grace and your goodness that you have bestowed so freely upon us. And Lord, we'll spend eternity understanding it, but we are now the happy, glad recipients of it. God, help us to be busy paying our debt. Amen. Thank you.
Well, wonderful truth, isn't it? Just reminders.
Yeah.
We're debtors. And as a result of that, we have a lot that we get to do. We don't have to do, we get to do. And what a privilege. Thank you, Brother Michael, for that. What a blessing. Encouragement to us. So, all right, Lord bless. We look forward to seeing you Sunday. Don't forget to be looking for an email. We may need some help towards the end of the week. Okay? Lord bless you.